It's a sexual healing podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Pookie, and always at my side is...
Dark Boy is right here.
Hello, Dark Boy. How are you this week? Are there any hoes you need to slap?
Nope.
Damn.
Well, none that I can slap, but...
Well, that have earned some slappage.
We'll see.
Okay.
I have to think of them.
You gotta give
at the moment,
time.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand.
What about you?
Oh God, I have a list. But I will keep it to the, to my favorite slumlord. We are still not back into our home. However, when I stopped by there Friday, the walls were back up, so that's a start.
Okay. That's a start.
Yeah, it's a start. I mean, who knows where the kitchen cabinets were? So the contractor was like, do you know where the cabinets are? And I said, hell no. I didn't take them down. So he was...
They might be in the bathroom. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, he was... Because actually, I think... Oh, no, the walls were back up yesterday. But Friday I was there. And he was... He was putting together an estimate to put the walls back up and to also reinstall the countertop in the kitchen because, you know, they took half the kitchen apart. Counters, cabinets, the whole nine. Just, yeah. So, it was nuts. And so, the walls are back up. That's one plus. On the other side, you know, the kitchen still looks a hot mess. The bathroom still has no flooring, and my bedroom is just kind of in disarray. it's special.
And not for a good reason, though.
And yes, exactly. There was no kicking in the ceiling, no exfoliating.
Yeah.
Toenails and soles of feet on the ceiling fan, you know, nothing along those lines, nothing nearly that interesting. So it's a lot. I'm just kind of over it. I'll be looking forward to being back in my bed. Tonight I am recording live from the parking lot of the First United Methodist Church in Compton, California. Literally, I am sitting in the car in a dark-ass parking lot. So, you know, it is what it is. My recording studio
yes.
is wherever I can find it. Just got back from a quick little weekend jaunt to Carlsbad. Very lovely. Not nearly long enough. Lots of sleep.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good right there.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely came back recharged and passionate about some of my creative pursuits. So I'm excited about that. That is the long answer to a very simple question. Uh-oh. The seatbelt just did something here. Okay. So, so you don't have anyone to slap.
No, not really. I mean, I have to think of, you know, if things happen, I just tend to forget about it after a while.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, oh, I got to think about it. This week was such a crazy week, so,
Very true.
So I just don't think I had time to even be bothered with anybody who needed to be slapped. So
okay, yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, you do what you do. I'm going to keep doing, and I usually tend to take him out of my mind. I forget about him.
Well, you know, I did sign up for the 2018 edition of NaNoWriMo, which is the National Novel Writing Month. Which is like I guess it's probably a global thing, where people sign up on a website and pledge to write 50,000 words in the month of November, which is about good for a draft of a novel.
How many words?
50,000.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a little more than 1,500 words a day. And, you know, and it's just like you can start something new. You can revise something that you've already done. You can just start esoteric shit, whatever it is. And somewhere in those 50,000 words is a novel or a novella or a short, you know, series of short stories. So I'm going to be returning to my novel as well as my erotic novel series that I had started. So,
yes, I remember.
Yes, I need to get something out the door.
Okay. Yeah,
so that is the plan, the intention.
Now, what do you get? Is it just you just get the accolades of saying you did it, or is there money? Is there some kind of a prize or something at the end?
Apparently, there may be some sort of prize. Like, I saw there was some guy who was I think they said he was a four-time winner, and I said, what does that mean? Like, does it mean he completed the challenge 4 years? Is there some sort of judging of the content? I'm not entirely sure, but it's really cool because when you set up your profile, because my profile from 2016 is still there, so both of the books that I've started working on are now in the system, and you can give yourself all these different badges depending on, you know, how you perform. And you know, they have like the Buzzed Award for if you're on your fourth cappuccino, you know, that kind of thing. Or if you've gone to a writing out night, I think they call it, or a write-in where you meet with other people that are working on their stuff for NaNoWriMo. So it's pretty cool. So, you know, I got my book blurb in there. And I put in an excerpt, which was actually 1,500 words. And so I'm excited. I feel kind of energized to resume work on the book and just getting something out there with my name on it. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We look forward to that.
Well, and I look forward to sharing it. I'll be happy to announce it when it's done. But I'm definitely at that point where I'm like, bitch, finish the book. So, yeah. Yes, I guess moving us forward, I believe this week it is my turn to do a blacklist.
It is.
All righty. So kind of in line with yours from last week of the, what was it, underrated divas?
Yes.
Or
singers, diva singers, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, underrated singers. I am doing underappreciated divas this week.
Okay.
So my number three is the indomitable Patty Austin.
Okay.
You know, much like your list was a bit old, new school, mine is very old school. So I'm just letting the kids know that up front. Y'all might not have heard of some of these girls.
That keeps it balanced, so we're good.
But they bang. you know, and Patty, her career, given her talent and just her longevity in the industry, she's never quite gotten the shine that I think she was totally worthy of. You know, I think she's Quincy Jones's goddaughter or niece.
Okay.
She can blow. She can yodel. She's worked with everybody over the decades. So she is definitely my number three. And I love Patty. I've seen her live a couple of times.
Did she do a duet with somebody like in the 80s?
Oh, yes.
Who was that?
That was a high water mark for her career. That was Baby Come to Me with James Ingram.
Yes. Okay. That's the song that I am thinking about. Okay.
Yes. And, you know, that is, I mean, when most people hear her name, that is the song that comes to mind.
Okay. That was it.
Which is one of my favorites of all time because I grew up in that era. So, you know, all that old school shit is mine. So, yeah, Patty, you know, I love her on Quincy Jones stuff, Razzmatazz. Just, yeah, she's done some good shit. So my number two is someone that I mentioned last week, the fabulous Heather Headley.
Okay.
Her first and only album that I'm aware of was Stellar. I loved it. I still will pull out He Is and get my holla. And I just appreciate that she's like a true artist. Even her one I Didn't Mean To, where, you know, her husband walks in on her fucking some other man and she's like, I didn't mean to. And
but you did it anyway.
Yeah, and he very nicely packed up their child and left her ass. And I was like, oh, shit. So it was an interesting take on a very old story. But I think she was also, I think her, one of her notable roles on Broadway was Aida, I believe. Unless I'm thinking of Audra McDonald. But I think Heather Headley did Aida as well. I heard she wore it the fuck out. We kind of talked about Heather last week, so I won't beat the horse.
Yes.
So my number one underappreciated diva is the incomparable, the devastating, the superlative, and some would say over-singing, but I call it virtuosity, Rochelle Pharrell.
Okay, I don't know who she is.
You don't know Rochelle? Ooh.
I don't know.
Okay, so Rochelle is this...
Well, that's, she's underappreciated, so that's part of the problem.
She has performed in Long Beach a couple of times. Actually, okay. She's been at the Terrace a couple of times. She's been at the Long Beach Jazz Festival a couple of times. I saw her at the Jazz Festival once. She did a R&B album, which was very good. I don't think it really showcased her true skills and talents, but her first jazz album, I believe, unless it's because first is in a title, is First Instrument, and her rendition of Autumn Leaves had me in love. You know, I knew her from her R&B album, but then when I heard Autumn Leaves, I said, this bitch is bad. And
okay, and I have to look into her then.
Yeah, Autumn Leaves, she cuts up, she scats, you know, because she'll start a song and then she takes it places. And she's an I think she's a 5 or an 8 octave girl. Like, she is phenomenal. Oh gosh, what was the name of that album? Oh, I swear, I am becoming one of those folks that drives me crazy where it's like, bitch, it's so and so. Now I can't remember. But yeah, she has done some phenomenal work, and her jazz material has been great. You know, she works Inchworm Into the Ground. She did this song in French at the Montreux Jazz Festival, On Se Reviendra, and she just took that shit places. Like, I finally heard the original, and I said, that's the same song? Fuck. So yeah, Rochelle is a bad one. She's not for everybody. She's a little esoteric, but for y'all that don't know Rochelle, y'all need to get with her because she is a bad girl.
But her thing is jazz though, right?
Yeah, she does jazz. She does like a jazz R&B fusion, but she does do pure jazz standards. But she basically...
That's probably why I haven't heard of her.
Yeah, and she does a little gospel. You know, she'll give you a little gospel cut. But her instrument is so powerful and so skilled that she just crushes stuff. And you just sit there like, damn, Rochelle. You know, she be having my skin trembling and shit. So...
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, enough of all that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big jazz... I'm not a jazz person.
Oh, yeah. See, I love a jazz diva.
No, so that's why I don't know who she is. Like, that music and then opera are just two that I just can't do. But I'm sure she's very talented.
Yeah, I respect the opera girls, but I can't get with it. You know, because the pure skill and talent that you have to have to do opera, you know, it's undeniable. But I definitely am a fan of the jazz girls because it's just, there's just that soul that they put into it. You know, it's like the way you treat a piece of music, and it's like they make it theirs, and it's the phrasing, and oh, it's fabulous. It's a lost art.
Okay. No, that was good. So the Blacklist will return next week with something for me. I don't know what that will be yet, but it'll be my turn next week.
Yeah, you got a little time to get it together.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
No pressure.
No, yeah, no pressure at all. Yeah. No pressure.
Okay. This week's topic is your brainchild.
Well, yes. So, you know, I was looking to see what can we discuss this week, what's on our mind. And we had made a list of all the topics that we kind of wanted to cover. And one of the topics was post-Obama America. And I think this past week, to me, I think one of the crazier weeks dealing with life after Obama. I think part of my thing is I need to be better at, I guess, knowing what people who support Trump or people who are Trump supporters or Republicans, I think I just need to pay more attention to what they are doing, because it seems like they are listening to every word that Trump is saying and then following through with actions. We had the guy with the mail bombs this past week. And then I only found out over the weekend about the guy. We had the synagogue shooting, which just happened in Pittsburgh. But I found out about the guy at the Kroger store. I don't know if it was Kentucky. I don't remember where that one was. I might be getting it mixed up. Where he killed two black people at the grocery store. But what I didn't know before that was that he had gone to a black church.
Oh, yeah.
And he couldn't get in.
Yeah, black folks locking doors now.
Well, yeah, he couldn't get in. So he went to the store and then, from what I read, was shooting at the black people in the store, not anybody else.
There was
so I'm like, go ahead.
I was just going to say there was so much shit that I forgot about that.
But see, and that's the sad part, because I'm like, It's things are happening so fast.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much that's happening so fast. So part of me is like, I feel like we have crossed into brand new, very scary territory. I don't, you've got people with the guy with the mail bombs. I mean, he mailed those things to everybody or the people who had criticized Trump, mm-hmm. or was critical of the Republicans in general. And so he's sending bombs. And I mean, he was so stupid that, I mean, he must have wanted to get caught, because I don't think he did anything to prevent them from finding who was sending the bombs. I think they found his DNA over all of them. And mm-hmm. so I was like, okay, well, you didn't do anything to prevent it. So what was the, I mean, you didn't do anything to prevent not being caught. So he must have wanted to be caught. But it doesn't make sense to me. So, I don't know.
I mean, I feel like we've definitely arrived at a tipping point of sorts with a lot of this. I mean, once upon a time, you could call it the occasional incidents of antisocial behavior. But now folks are off the damn chain. And
yeah.
And this morning, I was listening to NPR. And they rebroadcast an interview they did with this guy who I cannot recall his name, but his father was like a grand wizard in the KKK.
Oh, gosh.
He also is like a leading white nationalist. Like, he actually was going to go to the island of Dominica. He and his cronies, armed to the teeth, and they were going to basically try to take over the island to make it into a white-only utopia. And of course, what? Got stopped at the airport. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I was like, how do we not know this shit went down? And he only served 3 years. Which.
Oh, this happened a while back.
Yeah, this was, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember exactly when this happened. I'd have to do the research. But the guy, it was his father that did this. So being his father's son, he was like a young white nationalist. And he talked about the whole idea of really white nationalists kind of changing the narrative of, like, they went away from white supremacy because that was seen as something negative. They don't like to be called racist. That the whole idea of white nationalism is all about keeping the races separate so everyone can have their own shit. And also preserving the white race and keeping it pure and making sure that it doesn't become extinct through miscegenation and cultural mixing and so on and so forth. And
the browning of America.
Exactly. And I just sat there like, and so it was just very interesting because this guy, you know, he talked about his history and how he ran for office, and he didn't call himself a white nationalist, but he basically had all these white nationalist talking points. And yeah. you know, and he talked about how Obama's election scared the shit out of a lot of white folks, and so they did, they weren't comfortable with the label white nationalists, but they were totally in step with the talking points and the rhetoric. And so it was very interesting. And he actually ran for public office and won with these talking points, but his Republican colleagues would not actually let him take his seat that he won. Much like, you know, folks could have done to Trump, you know, if they had a backbone.
Well, how did they stop him?
They basically wouldn't let him sit. Like, they, it's just like they, like the Electoral College could have said to Trump, you got too much shit around you. You have too many sexual assault accusations. You know, you grabbing folks by the pussy. All these different things. I mean,
just, I should be laughing, but.
Well, no, I mean, hell, at this point, it is kind of funny because it's so absurd. It's like, I mean, at this point, to say grabbing by the pussy apparently is just not all that big a deal anymore. Because we still put someone in the highest office in the land that basically
who did that?
Made a joke of it. And even fucking groped RuPaul on an airplane. Are you kidding? So.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, allegedly, RuPaul said that he was assaulted by Donald Trump. And Donald didn't realize he was a man, baby. But.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Ooh.
Child. You know, the vault is deep. And dark. So I guess I'm wondering, how are you feeling and coping in the midst of all of this?
Well, it's still brand new. I mean, well, it's brand new to me. I think other people, it's been more obvious that we're headed in this direction. I just didn't expect that we would be, there would be mail bombs, there would be people who would be targeting black people. I thought, you know, obviously you see the white nationalists, you see the people who are basically Nazis or whatever, and they're doing the protests like at Charlotte, stuff like that. But it just seemed like this week it's, and maybe I just woke up, I don't know, but it just seemed like this week it's different. And what my thing that I'm thinking about is, I, like, so when 45 was elected, all of these people who were, who, I don't know what you would call them, they were hiding in the, they were in the woodwork or whatever you want to call them or say about where they were.
They've all come out.
Yeah, but then it's like all of these issues that they think they have or the problems or whatever, they've been building up anger or frustration over the years. And now I think we're seeing, now that they've, him being elected has allowed them to come out of the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing their frustration come out. And part of me is worried that they're not going to go back in. That I don't think they're going to go back in. This is going to be because I think they feel like with the Browning of America and all these other people coming in and all this stuff, I think they feel like this is their last chance to hold on to it. And so they're not going to just go quietly back into hiding after this, whether Trump continues or not. You know what I mean? That's a new thing for me that I'm still like, I think we're really at this point. I think we've gotten to that point. We may have been there, it's just that stupid me only realizes now.
Well, I feel like nowadays there's certainly more absurdity to it, but I would have to say that during the civil rights era, shit was far worse than it is now. And even, you know...
Yes, you're right.
I think for a lot of us that kind of grew up in the age of Obama and of globalization and just the world getting so much bigger, this behavior, this overt white supremacy that we're seeing, it is very shocking and very jarring to a lot of people, but I don't think it's anything new. I do feel like if the folks, you know, that were Klan members back in the day went underground, you know, they never went anywhere. They got different names, so to speak, for their movements and all.
Yeah.
But it never went anywhere. And the guy even said in the thing, in the interview, that because he actually renounced all that shit. Like, he basically was like, I'm not a believer, which I'm sure his father was not happy about. But, you know, he basically said that the objective of the white nationalists is to change and co-opt the language. Because people don't like being called racist. So when you have, and think about it, when you say to the average white person, you know, you're racist or this system is racist, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, you know, and they're like, I didn't own slaves, blah, blah, blah. You know, they take the most extreme example they can think of to distance themselves from it. But also, it's just, they also, white nationalists see being called a racist as like a made up thing. And I said, wait, what? Like, it was a really fascinating interview. I will have to find that information and put it in the show notes for, you know, for the listeners. Because that shit was interesting. The interview itself was really fascinating. And I didn't hear all of it. I heard maybe about 10, 12 minutes of it while I was driving across town. But I was engrossed. And I hated that I had to get out the car and go into the doctor. But I did. And I would take this moment to say, you know, gentlemen, yeah, I know that we're not supposed to be vulnerable, but get your ass to the doctor. If you're supposed to get a finger up your ass at this point, when you hit 50, go and get that finger. We don't need you dying and withering away because you didn't want nobody touching your ass. Now, I recognize those of us with bussies, it's not an issue, you know. Right. But the average brother that may happen to listen to the show, I don't know. I'm sure he's out there. Take care of yourself. Because I went to the dentist and the doctor today, and I was like, oh, Lord. They just jacked me from the rooter to the tooter. But, you know.
Both ends, basically.
that's overstatement because there was no probing of the anal cavity today or anything like that. But although my doctor did read me, he was like, yeah, where the hell you been? I said, oh, wait, wig, hold on. Don't snatch at it now. But he was right, though. My ass did disappear for about 6 months and, you know, I got snatched. But back to the post-Obama America. Yeah. You see how quickly I fall off topic.
We had that little side.
I did. Side trip but there. It was a PSA.
Sidebar.
We'll call it a commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just, it's really fascinating because I think that by and large, a lot of these conservatives, you know, I don't even want to get into it with the Christians right now with the Christian conservatives. I just, contempt and a hard time is all I got for them because I don't understand how any of them can construe 45 as a Christian. I just don't see it. But then again, this brand of Christianity that folks have been pushing for a while now, he fits it.
Yeah.
He fits. So if this is what y'all want to call Christianity, okay, you're doing your faith no favors.
Yeah, but they don't care about that, I don't think.
I think, well, no, but see, they also want to run around talking about us a Christian nation. I'm like, y'all, stop whitewashing every damn thing. I feel like on the average day, as a black man with some damn sense, I feel like I'm being white-lighted. Sorry, not white-lighted. Lord, gaslighted on a daily basis.
That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I could use a white lighter to heal some of these things that ail me, but, you know, because Charmed is back on. I feel like I'm being gaslighted on a daily basis. Like, this shit is going on around us, and you just got utter bullshit. Like, if you care to listen, if you care to see, if you care to pay attention and keep track, it's very clear what's going on. Folks act like ain't nothing going on. And
yeah,
I've gotten to the point I could care less what that idiot has to say. I could care less about what that lying hoe who got up there today in that green dress and lied as usual. Lying hoe.
Well, that's what she can be paid for. So
just, ooh, that trap. I can't stand her. I'm a little militant today, you know. I don't care what they say. I see enough. I don't see all of it. You know, I think it's impossible for us to see all of it and be aware and maintain our sanity and maintain any sense of hope. It's hard. I'm finding it increasingly difficult. And there's some days where I feel a little a little hopeless, and it really bothers me. I shouldn't feel that way. But, and maybe I don't know. It's not good to should myself in that way.
Well, okay, so when did you start feeling hopeless?
Actually, it started...
When he was elected?
Election night. I mean, I sat there just watching the returns like, this motherfucker's gonna win. It just, it became... Because I think when I got home, he was already in the lead. And granted, most of the states are red.
Yes.
It comes down to about two or three battleground states, and that determines everything. But I just kind of sat there like, oh my God, what in the world is going to happen now? I was not looking forward to another 4 years or 2 years of bureaucratic gridlock with if Hillary had been elected. Because they were going to wear her nerves out.
Yeah, they were probably going to do her... Well, I don't know if they would have done her worse than Obama, but they would have done her pretty bad.
But I feel like Hillary would have been like, you know what? Fuck the dumb shit. I run this shit. Now, either you vote my law up or you vote it down. And if you don't have the votes, I'm vetoing that shit. You know, it's just like... I really feel like at a certain point, Hillary would have been like, you know what? I've been doing this too long. I know what I'm doing. Fuck y'all. I feel like she would have been like, look, let me take some pages out of their playbook and just put that work in and let them continue to sit there twiddling their thumbs. Because the thing that amazes me is that these assholes, when Obama was elected, they made it their expressed purpose to make sure he was a one-term president, which is just...
Yes.
Utter bullshit. Just utter bullshit. But that was the whole idea of old white men having to kowtow to a younger black man. I get it. You know, it's some bullshit, but I get it. But
yeah.
Then...
We're still dealing with that now. That's why we got what we got now. Because...
Well, yeah, they didn't get him out. But then... You know, his signature healthcare law, which is not perfect, and he even said it wasn't. He's like, it's a starting point. Make it better. But those assholes, instead of trying to find ways to make it better with a majority in Congress and in the Senate, they basically sat there trying to repeal like multiple times a year. And I'm like,
yes.
And then when they finally get the person, and maybe not the person in the White House they wanted, but they got someone in there agreeable, these assholes couldn't pass a damn thing. For 8 years, they have been bellyaching about how Obama's stuff was fucked up and it was ruining the country. You know, Obamacare, Obamacare, Obamacare. We got to repeal it. Y'all ran basically damn near all three branches of government and still could not get anything done other than to fuck up the funding and make everyone's healthcare premiums higher. Because that asshole took away the subsidies. You know, and now it's like he wanted to repeal Obamacare and basically put it back in, but call it Trump Care. I mean, that's literally, he was trying to pull that shit for a minute there.
I know.
And I just said, you tired bitch, you. Yeah. To our listeners, this our first time, I'm not normally this angry. I'm salty. Because I'm literally sitting in the parking lot in a church recording my show because my recording space is not mine right now.
It's a disaster area.
It's a fucking, I can't get to my desk because the bathroom is sitting in front of my desk. Well, I take that back. Two kitchen cabinet doors and a lamp. And the bathroom, the standing bathroom shelf is all sitting in front of my desk at home. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know how I'm going to edit this episode, but we'll get it together. But yeah, I'm just a little angry because I understand, I haven't read this to confirm it myself, but it's my understanding that over the weekend, they basically slashed, what was it, Medicare? Like,
I don't know,
$5 billion? They cut
did they do that already?
And I said, Really? Because they're not even in session.
Maybe they're thinking of doing that.
Well, no, I'm not even thinking about doing it, but I was told they've done it. And I said, really? They're not in session. So, but they were also trying to confirm all these conservative and likely unqualified judges to federal benches. You know, and those were lifetime appointments. And they are going about their work in ways that are going to impact us for generations. You got folks on the damn federal bench now that the Bar Association in their respective states have said this person's not qualified to be a judge.
Yeah.
They barely hold on to their license to practice law.
But see, is that because... See, they are beating us, it seems like.
Oh, they've been whooping our asses for years.
Yeah, and one of our mutual friends always says that the Democrats don't play dirty.
No, we don't.
And look what's happening.
Yeah, I mean,
because we're getting all these people that are being put that don't. Well, I don't think they necessarily care too much about black people or anybody of color or any gay people or women or anything like that. So and. These are lifetime appointments, so
yeah.
These
folks have much more impact on circuit court benches, district benches than the Supreme Court does, because most stuff doesn't get to the Supreme Court. Most cases don't get to them.
Yeah, there's only very few, and they're select. They get to pick which ones. It's not like all of them that go there or that.
Yeah, they'll kick it back, be like, y'all deal with this shit.
Yeah.
We not
yeah,
ready.
Exactly.
You deal with it. You know? And, I mean, it's what happened with marriage equality. They didn't kick that back. They took it because they knew, okay, we need to deal with this. You know, and they finally
dealt with it. Well, I think DOMA, I don't know if I have it right. I think DOMA they took on, but then Prop 8 they kicked back?
Maybe.
And then since Prop 8 had already... been in California determined unconstitutional. I may not have it right, but I thought that one of them that's how it went.
Quite possibly. I mean, I know it was a twisted saga because you had different states putting up the marriage amendments and then, you know, Prop 8 here in California, which was a fuck fest. And then you had also, hell, the current Prop 8 is a fuck fest. I just read the text of that shit today, and I said, these TV commercials have been utterly misleading. I mean, which they normally are.
Well, they all are anyway.
Yeah, but I'm just sitting here like, so because y'all won't be able to overbill, you're going to have to close clinics. Is that what you're saying? DaVita? Dialysis? Is that what's going on here? Because you guys have been just running roughshod and you know, not keeping clean facilities like you supposed to, and overbilling, so y'all been raggedy. And so because they want to have some degree of oversight, you hollering is going to force people into ERs for dialysis treatment. A mutual friend of ours just said yesterday, he's like, that's not going to happen. He's like, we fought really hard to get dialysis patients out of the ER. They're not coming back in. It's just that he's like, these damn dialysis companies need to actually operate with some integrity and stop fucking overbilling. But, you know, I do feel like we have a certain responsibility on this show for me to kind of calm my anger a bit and for us to perhaps offer something a bit more affirmative and supportive to.
What I was going to say is there hope? Uh-huh. Is there hope coming, you know?
I think there is, but I'm also at the point of cynicism. I'd like to think the midterm elections are going to, you know, are going to flip the tables. But even if the Democrats do take stuff back and somehow manage maybe to get a supermajority, I don't see them really using that shit like they need to. But I feel like they need to be as rude and audacious as the Republicans have been. We actually lost a fucking Supreme Court justice over this shit because they refused to even hold hearings. But then they want to push through a fucking alleged, you know, rapist and sexual, you know, really? Like, and even before the woman testified, well, I'm voting yes. But you wouldn't even give Merrick Garland, you know, who...
A chance. He had no chance.
Yeah. I mean, they wouldn't even... They were like, oh, he's a fine jurist. But, yeah, we're not... We're going to wait on the election because the American people deserve a say. The American people, whether you want to... Okay, fine. 45-1. But more people voted for other folks than they did him. So... He needs to...
But that doesn't even matter, though. That doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't. I mean, but he... I mean, I think... Didn't he just say today that he is... He's made great strides to bring... To unite the country? I'm sitting here like, when?
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
I said, when did you... The only thing you united was your lips to a fucking cheeseburger. Bastard. Okay. See, I'm just... Ooh. It might be the air.
You got your pressure up.
My pressure up, and you know, my doctor just told me it was normal today, but it's up. It's up. Okay.
It's up now.
Yeah. So what can we offer to those that are maybe feeling a bit more disenfranchised, if not downright worried and afraid than we are? I mean, we certainly are feeling those things, but maybe not to the extent of other folks.
The only thing I could think of, and I mean, is everybody has to have the voices heard. And so everybody has got to go out and vote. Right now, I don't know anything else to do besides that. That's not going to get people in trouble, get them in jail, or anything like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could protest, you could write. I don't know if it's going to do any... Write to your congressman. I don't know if it's going to do any good. But if people are voted out and a whole new crop or whatever you want to call it comes in and it's not this foolishness we got now, that's the hope. I mean, the midterm is on November 6th, so you know, get out and vote. Don't make excuses.
My advice, I think, to anyone out there just feeling kind of like, ooh, I don't know, the key thing is that you need to get to know. I do feel like people, it was interesting, NPR was talking about, they interviewed this guy that is working with basically high school students of color and teaching them about politics and like, what do our elected officials do? Because apparently somewhere along the way, that information is no longer being conveyed to our students. So if they don't understand what a governor does, what a lieutenant governor does, what state assembly people do, what our president does, and that we have, you know, the three arms of government that are supposed to be checks and balances, like all that stuff is generally part of our understanding, I would say, in our generation. But clearly, the subsequent generations and even some of the folks in the ones prior to us, you know, there's no accounting for just they wasn't paying attention or they fried that knowledge out of their brains, maybe. But kids really don't know in a lot of cases what the hell this stuff's about. So when they do come of age, they don't know what they don't really in their bones have an understanding of why they need to vote. I would say to our listeners, young and old, increase your knowledge and understanding of our political system. I can understand approaching it with a bit of apathy and cynicism and even feeling defeated. However, I think it's really important that we all understand what this shit is, understand that this tax cut that just got pushed through gives far more incentives to corporations and you know, the wealthiest among us than it did to us, because that, you know, that extra money on our checks is a pittance, because, you know, at least in California, we're going to end up owing more within the next couple of years. But understanding that that tax cut went through, which created a huge deficit in our economy, which is certain to happen. And now the Republicans are going to be like, hey, you know, we got this big deficit. We got to cut costs. See, we got to cut costs. And it's like, you just took trillions of dollars away from our tax base. And you gave it to corporations that don't give a fuck about us. And now you're going to turn around and cut Medicare. you know, they're going to try. I know they're coming after Social Security somehow, some way. They're going to try.
They're going to do something.
So I think instead of this just being talking points that you hear people belly aching about, take the time to sit down and learn about this shit and get your own level of understanding about it. Because that's the only way to really survive this bullshit, is for you to understand that, yes, this shit is fucked. Yes, we are getting royally screwed. No Vaseline, no Astroglide, no Wet Platinum, my favorite lube. You know, none of those things are going to be swirling around in your parts or on your parts. But the fucking is going to happen, and it's going to hurt for a while. However, it's easier to understand that it's all cyclical when you understand the history and the precedence of this shit. That you recognize that, you know, whomever is in power midterm, their party typically gets its ass kicked in the Senate and Congress.
Because yeah, that always seems to happen.
Yeah, it always happens. But this is the first time that it might not happen. Like, there's real concern that it might not happen. And it really needs to happen because no one is checking this foolishness going on in Congress, Senate, or the Oval Office. But my pressure is up again. So I would basically say, you know, increase your knowledge to increase your engagement in this process, to understand the power of your vote. Because, yes, in California, our vote matters less than someone's vote in Wisconsin or Idaho or North Dakota. However, our vote matters when you talk about electing people to Senate, to Congress, to state offices, our governors, all those, your vote counts there. And people tend not to vote for those things. That has a much more immediate impact on your life. So, you know, I didn't think we were going to get super political and politics, you know, government tonight.
But how can we not, though? I mean,
it's the only way to cope. Like, I find myself brushing up.
Yeah, what I was going to say, I'm glad that you mentioned about for people to read up and research and see how it works. Because my thing I was going to say is, don't necessarily rely on what you see on Facebook.
Please don't.
You know, right, because you see your friends or family members posting articles about things that have happened. But I think people need to look other places. So, but you said it better than me, so.
Well, I would even say, you know, certainly Lady Google can change things. But if you really want to know what the hell is what, you can actually go to the federal government's website, and I believe those things are there, but it's really tough sledding. It's some rough-ass reading. So go to your local public library and check out a government textbook. Because that's what we learned this shit in the first place, in school. Congress, it's a two-year appointment. Senate is 6 years. So as soon as a congressperson is elected, they're basically in campaign mode already. Because they're up for election again in 2 years. Most people don't know that. I just saw a commercial before I left the house tonight for Dana Rohrabacher. This, you know, frighteningly conservative congressman down in Orange County. He's been in office 30 years. They have elected his ass 15 times. And he's fucking frightening. But the OC, hopefully, you know,
that's
how they've been. But now, Orange County in the last presidential election, it went blue.
Actually, and you know, I have to say, like, we had dinner with my brother and his wife last night, and they are in his district. I didn't know that.
Your brother and his wife. Your brother got married?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. It was. Well, it was a very quick thing. It wasn't like a big ceremony. They just went to the judge and all that stuff.
But
so there was no
just
ceremony.
Meet her? Okay.
No.
Oh
no.
Shit. Okay.
No, they're good.
Oh well, yay! Congratulations.
But my point. Yes, my point though is that you have people moving in that district that aren't. You know, they're not going to vote for him. So you have people moving in. So they're not the only one. So maybe this time will be the time that he's not, you know, not put back in. We'll see. But
we'll see. It would be nice. Yeah. I do, you know, and people, because somebody's like, how did Orange County flip? And I said, well, you still got some of the same, you know, upper middle class to wealthy business owners, predominantly white, that are down there. However, you have pockets of Orange County that have gotten very brown. And I mean, it's not to say that just because someone is Latinx they're going to vote Democratic, because a lot of them vote Republican.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Either because, you know, someone's, you know, pastor so-and-so at church told them to, or in other cases, the political values and their understanding of what being a Republican means is consistent with their values. So they vote that way. But I think these recent shenanigans around immigration and the like have turned off a lot of brown folk. And even, you know, some of our, you know, our siblings from the Far East, they're getting turned off. You know, where they're just like, you know, this is just, I am a fiscal conservative, but socially I'm moderate, if not liberal, and you've taken this shit too far. And, you know, I won't even talk about that whole, you know, Miss Caitlin talking about, you know, I can't believe.
Oh, God, I like, saw that.
I was like, you just now, you know, in disbelief? Really? Girl, please.
That's the thing. We try to tell you, you wouldn't listen.
She,
so.
You know what? That's because she a rich white woman. And she felt like she was above it all.
But see, a lot of good it's doing us now that you're saying it now, two years in.
You know, thank you. I mean, I just look at the way that he courted the black community. What else do you have to lose? The way he courted the LGBTQ community. I love my LGBTQ people.
He couldn't even say that right.
Yeah, but I mean, he basically offered like the limpest biscuit out there, and people just, I don't know what the voting patterns look like within the LGBT community, and you know, I don't remember, but I do remember that the majority of white women voted for his ass. They voted. You know,
yeah,
but
they did.
Otherwise, I just, yeah, I Caitlin, yeah, we trying to support, but you make it so fucking hard.
Well, a lot of people have given up on her already, so I don't think
I don't really pay attention anymore. Yeah, I don't give her too much play. I felt like almost like, you know, her coming out with her statement last week was, you know, the Jenner Kardashian playbook 101. You know, it's like your ass is late, you're out of the public eye, make some sort of, you know, meaningless mea culpa, and you're back in the spotlight again. And I don't think it worked. People were like, whatever, girl. And they went on back to their lives. So I just, raggedy hoes, I can't do it. But I do believe we're trying to keep this hoochie to an hour or less. So
yeah, well,
I'm going to shut up.
And we're not going to make it. So.
No, we're not. Okay, so why don't you help a brother out then? Or did you have a final comment? You know, I just be running roughshod over you. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. No, I mean, I everybody's got to get out and vote. Like you said, that's what I was saying earlier. I don't know if you heard all that.
Yes.
And you were saying people have got to learn how the system is that, you know. So everybody's got to do that. Everybody's got to do their part. It can't be somebody else fixing it. Everybody's got to be a part of it to fix it.
And it's not beyond you.
Well, and then be patient, because I think a lot of stuff is messed up. It's going to take a while to try to get it back.
Oh, yeah.
So don't just vote now and then in 2020 say, okay, well, nothing happened. You know, you got to come out in 2020 also. So it's gonna take a minute to fix everything that's messed up. So,
oh, most definitely, it's been a shitstorm for a while, y'all. But yeah. I would definitely say, get involved and do so with some knowledge and discernment and some savvy, because there are folks out there that are working very hard to make sure there's never any Vaseline in your ass before they fuck you. I mean, they really are. And, you know, you talk about ambulance chasing lawyers and lawyers are the scum of the earth. People always make those jokes. What do you think most of the people are in politics? Maybe not most, but a lot of them are what? Attorneys. So now, let that just wash over you. Yeah, those are my closing comments. This has been a very angry discussion for me. My chest hurts. And yeah.
See, that's because your pressure's up.
Yeah, my pressure's up. So I am going to slide out the way so maybe we can help a brother out.
Yes.
Yes.
So this time we'll be helping Eric. This is a completely different topic than the conversation we just had. So
yay, Eric.
This is a big, big shift in big gear shift here.
Okay.
So Eric says, my boyfriend of 5 years says my cock is not big enough.
Oh, Lord.
He loves me. He loves me, but isn't satisfied in the bedroom. We're both versatile and in our mid-30s. I'm happy with his size. However, he wants to bring a third bigger guy into our relationship to fuck him. I have mixed feelings about this. I know in the past he's been with guys that were bigger than I am, so I know that that's what he's used to. However, he has assumed that my understanding that he likes bigger guys means that I have said yes to this whole third guy thing. Now he wants me to help him find the bigger guys. He doesn't want me to feel left out, which is sweet, but this feels so out of control. How do I fix it?
Love it, yeah.
Yeah, it's totally, I mean, the boyfriend is not being sensitive at all.
Oh, wow.
To Mr. Eric.
Okay, so why don't you go first as I'm still bringing my pressure down with some deep breathing. What you got for Eric?
You know, well, so I think Eric has to reevaluate this relationship. Because to a certain point I understand it, but this just feels so insensitive. There has to be another way. I mean, Eric has not confirmed that he wants to do this, but yet the boyfriend is going on as we're doing this. And I think he needs to slow down. The boyfriend needs to slow down. And him and Eric need to have their talk. But then Eric needs to find, is this something, because now that this, I mean, is this something, this is going to come up every single time. And maybe it already has every single time they've had sex. So are you wanting to deal with this every single time? And now that he has it in his mind about getting some other guy, is he going to let that go?
No.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. To me, it's like how I mentioned earlier. I think now a line has been crossed that I just don't know if you can go back. You know what I mean? I don't know if you can go back to, you know. So, I mean,
yeah.
I always say talk, but I think Eric also has to, at the same time, reevaluate whether this is the right relationship for him. He's in his mid-30s. It's not like, you know, there isn't going to be someone else out there who doesn't care about size. So I just.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, Eric, sweetheart, I will talk to your man first. I will say I appreciate your honesty in bringing this to your man's attention instead of suffering in silence and building up all sorts of resentment. To the point
and
where,
then cheating or cheating
yeah, or just out there thoughting around and being, and actually, you know, fucking multiple people, whatever, you know, if that's what you want to do and you're doing it in a reasonably safe manner and that you're not feeling badly about yourself, then I applaud you. In this situation, I want to give you your props for at least starting the conversation with your man. But yeah, that's here's true. The thing. You really did Eric a bit of a disservice. Because I feel like I don't know what Eric's partner has tried to remedy the situation. There are a couple of options here. The first one is Eric's man can learn how to control his hole. You can tighten that shit up and put a grip on it. I mean, really.
Yeah, he could.
You can do a lot with some good Kegel control now. So that's the first thing. The second thing would be, have you guys looked into any sort of penis extender toys? There are toys.
Yeah, I think I think on one other episode we might have mentioned this.
Did I mention it? Okay.
No, I think in one other episode I think we did.
Okay.
I think I remember that coming up.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. I mean, those are definitely out there, but I think for him, it is kind of like, it sounds like it might be approaching a deal breaker, because Eric is like, I'm feeling very uneasy about this third party. At the same time, I do want my man to be satisfied such that I know or have some degree of certainty that he's not out there, you know, being dishonest.
Hoeing around.
Well, I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to be more sex positive, you know. But, yeah, we can call it hoeing around. Oh, Lord, the people are invading the parking lot. So, ooh, Lord, they loud, too. Okay. So, yeah, I think that, Eric, you kind of have to decide whether you are truly okay with the third party. Whether this is going to be a regular thing or he's going to be, you know, what are going to be the rules? So if you do allow this third party, is it going to be a three-way that you guys do together? Will he be allowed to play with the person on the side? And if he is on the side with his little side piece, what are the ground rules there? You better have some, or that side piece will become the primary and you will become the side. If not,
pushed to the side. He'll be pushed to the side.
The dessert that has overstayed its time and is in the trash. But I think also you may want to look into some other forms of anal play. If he wants something a little bigger, I'm not saying to fist him, but perhaps you can introduce some toys and ticklers and vibrators, or better yet, put on a vibrating cock ring over, like, put it, like, on your shaft and, you know, go and wear them out with that. You know, fuck them with that. Or you can also get maybe a toy that's maybe a more slender profile that you can, you know, you can insert, and then you're working on him as well. So he's getting a little more fullness. And if you learn how to work that second toy right, it could be quite interesting, because you can create some different sensations with that. You know, I think you need to be creative. You need to try out some different things and exhaust all possibilities. Because if you're not willing to share him in this way, it's a deal breaker. You need to separate and move on. And, you know, I hate to advocate for that
breaking up.
Because it's, you know, it's hard to find a man out there. Shit. You know, it's tough.
Yeah, they've been together 5 years, too. It's been 5 years, so it's not like they just met. It's been 5 years, so it's, you know,
yeah, I mean,
mid-30s, that's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, the time has been invested, and it's certainly, you know, at 5 years, there are a few things that, there are going to be a few secrets in that regard about things that are not satisfying or drive him crazy. You know, he's going to be relatively straightforward and disclose a lot of that stuff. Or you can figure it out just through your knowledge and understanding of him. Be like, oh, he don't like this shit. I'm getting on his damn nerves. So I think it starts with you before you even get into the conversation with him. Decide what's a deal breaker for you. what's going to work. Is a third person going to be okay in your relationship or in your sex life? If a third person is not going to work, then you have to do your homework and figure out all the different ways you can attempt to satisfy your man. And if those things come up unsatisfactory, you are not the man for him. Because either your dick isn't big enough or you're not willing to let someone else fuck him. Either way, you're not the man for him. Now, if you mixing in a toy or the vibrating cock ring or some Benoit balls or some different things, if that actually gets the job done and he's cool, then congratulations, you've worked out a solution. But yeah, if any of those things are not gonna work, he's not the guy for you. And you're not the guy for him. As much as that sucks and everything else, it's not going to work.
It just seems weird that it's taken this long to figure it out, I guess, though.
I just find it interesting as after 5 years his partner saying this. Now, maybe it is an issue of, I know this dick inside and out. It's just not hitting the spots anymore. I need more friction. I need this. I need that. You know, try different types of condoms. You know, studded, ribbed. You know, I like a Rough Rider turned inside out. You know, it's like, although actually, especially if you need to be more measured with your stroke, if you turn a Rough Rider inside out, it lets you know if you're doing too much. Because I have had my dick checked on more than one occasion because I was doing too much. So get creative. Have fun with this. Don't take the easy way out here. I mean, it may be the case that ultimately you guys are going to have to separate, or you're going to have to open up the relationship and have some very firm ground rules. You know, if there's any sort of agreement that you can work out that's going to work for you.
But because couples do, I mean, there are couples that do make that work.
Yeah, a lot of them.
I don't think it's necessarily for this. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily for this reason. Mm-hmm. But they have the reasons for doing it, and it works. So, I mean, it might, like you said, it might be a thing that works here. Mm-hmm. I think they should try the other stuff, the toys and different positions and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I didn't want it to be where that is a bad thing if there's a third or the relationship it becomes an open relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, some people make it work, so maybe they can. They just have to look into it and, like you said, have the ground rules and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of options to consider, and I think, Eric, if you do end up opening up the relationship, make sure that you're not doing so with a feeling of being defeated, because that's a recipe for this thing to die a long, slow, painful death. So if you're going to open up the relationship, do so with your eyes wide open. Do so with a lot of communication. You got to figure out what's going to work, what's going to be acceptable to you. What's gonna allow him to be satisfied, but also that you don't feel like you're being mistreated in some way. Because there are few things worse than being mistreated by the one who's supposed to love you the most.
Yeah.
So that's all I got for Eric.
Yeah, we don't want Eric to have any resentments or get depressed or any of that kind of stuff, so.
Yeah, resentment it's a very ugly thing. It eats away at you. Okay, did you have any more advice for Eric?
That is it for him. Okay. So anybody who wants to send a letter. So next week, Ask Your Brister will return. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to write letters for Help a Brother Out or Ask Your Brister, go ahead and send an email to us at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com.
And if you want to reach out to us in the social media world, we are on Twitter under pod. Ooh, pardon me. We're on Twitter under PodSexual. And also, I have set up a new Twitter account under Dr. Pookie. So it's DocTorPookie. That is the Bougetto spelling. And we're also on the gram at Sexual Healing Pod. And we are also on Facebook under Sexual Healing from Top to Bottom. So you can reach out to us on any of those profiles. We definitely want to be in conversation with you. We humbly ask you to share us with a friend. Subscribe. We need some ratings and some reviews. 4 and 5 stars would be lovely.
Yes, 4 and 5s.
Let us know what you like. Let us know what maybe is not exciting you or working for you, but also some things that you might want to add or people that we may want to talk to. Because, you know, we're just two guys. We don't know everybody. But we are working on some interesting shows coming up. We're going to have some guests finally. And so we're excited about that. And I think I'm going to try to get a good friend of mine on who's a world-renowned sexologist. So,
okay.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. So if you got those sex questions, you can ask a professional. But, you know, Dr. Pookie knows things, too. You know, I'm not doctor in name only. I earned that shit. So, but all right. So, once again, we thank you for hanging out with us. We know there are lots of choices out there. And, you know, we thank you. Uh-oh. The brother next to me is, he done started up his car.
Okay. Yeah, that's time for us to go there.
You know, this is life in the city, so I'm just going to keep talking. So, thank you. If this is your first time, thank you for joining us. If this is your 31st time or 32nd time, then welcome back. And we appreciate the support. Yes. And, you know, get us a review, brother, sister, sibling. Come on now. All right. So that's all I got. You got any closing words for us today, Dark Boy?
No. Just, well, always just be good to yourself and be good to everybody else.
Okay. And I will say, get your knowledge up so you know why you're going to the polls to vote, especially if you got to stand in line for an hour or two. And as usual, be a blessing out in these streets, not a curse. All right?
Yes.
That's all we got. So y'all have a great all week. Right. Happy hump day. And if you can, get you a good hump in. You know, right. Hump day. All right. Y'all take care.
All right. Till next time.